All right, let's jump into this research you sent about beetles in Turkey. Honestly, I wasn't sure what to expect when I first saw the title, but this study is, well, way more fascinating than I thought it would be.
Right. It really grabs you. This research team, they really went all in. They went deep into this region in Turkey called Sataldağ Karşıyaka, setting up all these pitfall traps across all kinds of forests, like pine and fir, oak, you name it. Their goal was to really map out the beetle diversity in these Turkish woodlands.
And it's not like they just found a handful of beetles, did they? 2 years of trapping, and they
No.
identified 32 different species.
32 distinct species, yeah. And get this, 19 of those species had
Wow.
never been recorded in that region before.
19, that's like what? Almost two-thirds of their finding?
Almost two-thirds, yeah. It's
Yeah.
incredible. It really highlights how much we still don't know about biodiversity, even in areas that have been studied quite a bit.
So new discoveries are always exciting. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's talk about the beetles themselves. Many of them were what the study calls saproxylic beetles.
Right.
Which sounds a little intimidating, to be honest. What does that even mean?
Saproxylic beetles, they're basically nature's recyclers. They rely on, well, dead or decaying wood for, all or part of their lives. Think of them as the cleanup crew, keeping the forest floor from being just completely overcome with dead trees.
So 17 of the species they found were these saproxylic beetles. So they're not just hanging out in the forest. They're actually playing a vital role in how these ecosystems work.
Oh, absolutely. They break down that dead wood, releasing nutrients back into the soil, which then, of course, helps new life to flourish. It's a beautiful cycle, and these beetles are key to keeping it going.
But here's the thing that I found really striking. Two of those saproxylic beetles are actually on the IUCN Red List. I know the Red List tracks endangered species, but can you remind us, like, what exactly does that designation mean, and why does it matter in this context?
Yeah.
So the IUCN Red List, it's not just a list. It's a global system that assesses the conservation status of species. Scientists, they analyze population trends, habitat threats, and other factors to determine how likely a species is to go extinct. It's a powerful tool for prioritizing conservation efforts and just generally understanding the state of global biodiversity.
So finding Red List species in this study, it's not just a random detail. It's a sign that even in these seemingly untouched Turkish forests, there are species that are facing very real threats.
Exactly. And it makes you realize that protecting biodiversity, it's not just about saving those charismatic, megafauna like tigers or elephants. It's about recognizing that all species are important, even the tiny ones, the ones that don't always make headlines.
Okay, so we've got these saproxylic beetles, some of which are facing some serious challenges. But the study didn't just look at the beetles themselves, it also looked at how the type of forest affected their diversity, right?
That's right. And they found that oak forests, particularly ones with a lot of broadleaf trees, had much higher beetle diversity compared to coniferous forests. And there's a fascinating reason for that.
Oh, tell me more. I'm intrigued.
Well, consider the life cycle of a saproxylic beetle. They need dead wood. Oak trees, they're notoriously slow to decompose.
Right, so more dead wood equals more food and more habitat for our beetle friends.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And because that decomposition process takes so long, you get all these different stages of decay happening at the same time, creating this complex habitat structure with tons of little niches for different species to specialize in.
It's like, it makes you realize that even just the type of tree can have this huge ripple effect throughout the whole ecosystem.
It really does, and it connects to this concept called forest succession.
Oh.
Over time, forests go through different stages, from young stands of fast-growing trees to mature forests dominated by slower-growing species like oaks.
And those mature forests, with their abundance of slow-decaying wood, they become these biodiversity hotspots for all sorts of creatures, including our beetle
A
friends.
perfect way to put it, yeah. And this study shows how important it is to understand those successional stages if we want to conserve the full range of life within a forest. And it's not just about, the age of the trees or how fast they decompose.
What else is there?
Well, Turkey, geographically, it's in this really interesting spot. It's got this mix of European and Mediterranean climates, making it a real biodiversity hotspot.
Right. It's like this this blend of different ecological influences. So all these new beetle species, does that mean that there's even more we don't know about insects in Turkish forests?
Absolutely, yeah. This study is really just a starting point. Think about all the other unique habitats in Turkey. You've got mountain forests, coastal areas. Each one is likely just teeming with undiscovered insect life.
Wow, it's like we're just scratching the surface of this region's biodiversity. But going back to those 19 new species, That discovery makes me wonder about the methods they used.
You're thinking like a scientist. It's true, though, the fact that they found so many new species. Using, well, a relatively simple method like pitfall trapping, it does raise some interesting questions.
Like, are there similar discoveries waiting to be made in other parts of the world? Are we underestimating insect diversity globally?
Those are exactly the right questions to be asking. It suggests that our current methods might not be giving us the full picture. And it highlights the need for more research, more exploration, even in places we think we already understand.
It's humbling, you know, to think we still have so much to learn about nature.
Totally. But here's something else to consider. Let's say these researchers went back to these same forests 50 years ago. Do you think they would have found the same diversity of beetles?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Honestly, what are you getting at?
Well, we talked about habitat loss and the importance of mature forests. But what about climate change? Rising temperatures, changing rainfall patterns. We know those are already affecting insect populations all over the world.
So this study, it's not just a snapshot in time. It's a baseline we can use to track how these populations might be changing in response to, well, a warming planet.
Precisely. That long-term perspective is crucial for understanding the real impact of climate change on biodiversity. We need to know what we're losing if we want to protect it.
It's like taking the pulse of the forest. And if the beetles start to disappear, it's a warning sign that something's seriously out of balance.
Exactly. They're like canaries in the coal mine. Sensitive indicators of environmental change. By studying them, we get these valuable insights into the health of the entire ecosystem.
This is pretty heavy stuff, but it feels important too. It's like this research is giving us a glimpse into this hidden world. The world of beetles, this world that's both incredibly complex and surprisingly vulnerable.
I think that's a perfect way to put it. We often overlook these little creatures, but they play such vital roles in, you know, how ecosystems function.
And their fate is tied to our own, ultimately. What stands out to you most from this study? Anything that surprised you or made you think differently?
For me, it's the reminder that even in a world that feels increasingly mapped out, understood, there are still mysteries to uncover. Who knows what other secrets are hidden in those Turkish forests or what other discoveries are waiting in, well, in all those unexplored corners of our planet.
I know, right? It's like every time we think we've figured something out about nature, it throws us a curveball. That's what makes studying the natural world so endlessly fascinating.
Exactly. There's always something new to learn, some new connection to make. And the more we understand about this intricate web of life, the better equipped we'll be to protect it.
So we've talked about this amazing diversity of beetles in these Turkish forests, the crucial role of those hardworking subroxylic beetles, and the somewhat alarming news that some species are facing threats.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's also inspiring, you know? This research shows us that even small creatures, like beetles, can have this big impact on the world, and it underscores the importance of scientific inquiry. Of asking questions and seeking answers, even when those answers lead us down unexpected paths.
Well said. Now, before we wrap up, I have one final thought to leave you with.
Okay, I'm all ears. What's this final thought?
Well, we talked about these beetles as, you know, as these indicators of a healthy ecosystem, but
yeah.
What happens if they start to, well, if they start to disappear? What does that mean for the forest? For the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, it's a sobering thought. We talked about how important they are for breaking down that wood, recycling those nutrients. If they're gone, wouldn't that mess things up?
It would, yeah. The forest floor would basically become choked with debris. Decomposition would slow down. The flow of nutrients would get disrupted. And that could have a domino effect.
Sure.
On all the other plants and animals that rely on that nutrient cycle.
Right. Like you pull a thread from a tapestry. You might not notice the impact right away, but eventually the whole thing could unravel.
And this isn't just, you know, a thought experiment. Climate change is already shifting the ranges of so many insect species. Some are moving to higher elevations, looking for those cooler temperatures, while others are, well, they're just struggling to adapt.
So this research, it's not just about documenting what's there now. It's about creating this baseline that we can use to track changes over time, understanding how these ecosystems are responding to, well, to the pressure we're putting on them.
Exactly. It's like having this historical record of the forest's health. By comparing future surveys to this data, we can see which species are declining, which are thriving, and how the whole beetle community is changing over time.
It's like we said earlier, taking the pulse of the forest. And if the beetles start to vanish, it's, well, it's a pretty big warning sign that something is wrong.
Yeah, a big warning sign. We have to pay attention to these subtle shifts
yeah.
if we want to have any chance of, you know.
Of mitigating. It's a powerful reminder that conservation, it's not just about protecting individual species. It's about preserving this whole web of relationships that make up a healthy ecosystem.
I think that's a great way to put it. And it all starts with awareness, you know, by shining a light on these often overlooked creatures.
Mm-hmm.
This research helps us appreciate, I think, the complexity and the fragility of nature.
You know, I have to admit, when we first started talking about beetles, I wasn't exactly thrilled. But this deep dive, it's really changed my perspective.
I'm glad to hear that. It's amazing what you can discover when you take a closer look, isn't it?
Absolutely. So to our listener, we hope this has, well, we hope this has sparked your own curiosity about the natural world. Next time you're out in nature, take a moment to really appreciate those tiny creatures underfoot, the beetles, the ants, the worms. They might be small, but they are mighty important.
And who knows, maybe you'll even discover a new species yourself. Happy exploring.